Today, we want to talk about what advice would we give our younger selves? Kind of our, you know, if you could go back to pre-recovery JJ, pre-recovery Doug, what advice would you give? I think about the scene from the Shawshank Redemption when Morgan Freeman's character is sitting before the parole board one more time. And, you know, they ask the question, you know, do you feel like you've been rehabilitated? And he starts to go into the normal thing. And then he goes, you know, I don't even know what that word means. He says, you know, there's not a day that goes by that I don't wish that I could go back and talk to that scared, angry little kid and tell him he could do something different with his life, right? He could choose a different option, different outcome. And so it got me thinking about, you know, what would I do? What would I say to my younger self if I could go back and talk to that 6-year-old kid, that 8-year-old kid, that 12-year-old kid? What would I say? And how would I want that? Why do I think that would make a difference? So I'll start that question with you, Doug. If you could go back and talk to young Doug, pre-recovery Doug, what would you say? What advice would you give?
You know, I've been thinking about this, and depending on, we make so many decisions in our life, right? Mm-hmm. And so going back as far back as I could, if I could talk to that little 5-year-old first, the first thing I would say is don't stay silent.
Oh, yes.
You know, don't stay silent. Don't isolate yourself. Tell someone what just happened. Even though it's scary, and you know, everybody in my family was big. I was real small, and so everybody in my family was big. And so these big people, you know, with these big voices, and but to say something, don't just stuff it and allow it to just seethe and grow inside of me, because some of that definitely, as I got older, fueled my getting into peer groups that I had no business being in. Mm-hmm. I had no, you know, you were talking about at your story, I'm not going to share it all, but you talk about the cheerleader thing, and there, you know, I've been thinking about some of these decisions to be in groups of peers and guys, and I would go back and I would stop him before he really got in too involved and going, hey, hold on. Is this the kind of life that you really want to lead? Because this is where it's going. Mm-hmm. We're known by the company we keep. And so the company that I was keeping was not healthy, but I didn't know it because all I wanted to do was belong. Mm-hmm. And each one of those groups, I didn't feel like I belonged in. So I just kept pushing. Well, now I want to belong to this one. Now I want to belong to this one. And I kept doing more and more and more, let's just say, unhealthy, dishonorable things. Mm-hmm. And that led to my drug history and sexually acting out and really trying to cope with my loneliness and my betrayal of friendships through substances. Mm-hmm. And sex happened to be a big part of that. Mm-hmm. And then that took over, and that became the big monster in my life. And so some of the other substances took a back seat. And now that, since it's the greatest thing on the planet, I thought, right. I would say, look, you're messing with something that you don't know how to stop. It will not stop you. You don't have, I was talking to a client yesterday that said, you're in your Ferrari at 120 miles down the highway, and you don't know that the brake lines are cut.
Yeah.
You cannot stop this.
You cannot stop this. And you think you are in control. You think you can control it, but you can't.
Every minute of the day, I can stop, I can move, I can change. Right. And right. I just right. kept going.
Right.
And the lives that I've ruined, the stories that I should not have been a part of in other people, I should have kept those to myself. And I would, I would be having these conversations along the way going, hey, this girl is not good for you. This group is not good for you. This entity, these are not good for you. This is not where you want to be. But I didn't know where I wanted to be because I felt lost most of my life. And so that fueled a lot of those decisions to get involved because, you know, even negative attention is attention.
Yeah. I mean, that starting phrase of don't keep it a secret, don't keep it inside. I mean, first of all, it resonated. Secondly, it made me think of the, you know, we're only as sick as our secrets, right? Oh my gosh. Absolutely. I mean, that's what I walked around there. I was the golden boy on the outside, right? Got good grades, respectful, community service, blah, 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 blah. All my friends, parents, and any girls that I actually convinced to date me, all the parents loved me, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So golden boy on the outside, but destructive on the inside, right? And that's what I kept secret, and keeping it a secret just kept it growing and growing and growing. That destructiveness, it was the 120 miles an hour Ferrari on the highway with the brake lines cut. Like there, it just got to the point where it took over. And if I could go back and say, you don't have to keep this a secret. You can share this with someone. And it won't, not only will it not be the worst thing possible to ever happen to you, it's actually going to be the best thing possible. Oh my gosh, it would have changed so much of my story.